Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Gary. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Numbers here this morning, Numbers chapter number 13, and I want to just say a big thank you here again this morning to those who have been helping extra behind the scenes. Pauline has had a lot of work that she's done extra to prepare. Brother Gary, of course, with the song leading. Brother Sasha probably done the most as far as all of our ministry with our live stream and our media. And I know Brother Graves as well, and several others that have just worked tirelessly to try and enable us to be able to have church this morning. And I appreciate that so much. By the way, I want to mention that you should be able to, if you are watching the live stream, I believe there should be a place if you haven't found it, but you should be able to access the bulletin for the day. And I know some of you, just simply to find out a little bit of the information of the church. And I was thankful last week, especially we had some changes that took place in our present service that we had. Many of you were here last week. I think we had almost 200 folks, and we're thankful for that. Had an offering of over 10,000 this last week, and faithfulness is just something so important. At a time like this, thank God for faithful people, but thank God for a faithful God. And so I do want to just commend you, but also just thank those who have helped in a special way. Before we read our text here this morning, if you don't mind me just throwing a little bit of levity. Now, I know that we are in a pandemic. I understand these are serious times. But I think one of the ways sometimes that we can get through it is we have to laugh a little bit. We have to find something of humor. I had some extra time on my hands here this week since we didn't have a lot of meetings and a lot of other things. And so I decided to go through the hymn book and just simply notice the titles of the hymns, of course, are especially important for us as we worship the Lord. But I thought, you know what, these could be read two different ways. And especially in light of the pandemic, in light of the coronavirus, I came across 11 hymns that really kind of made my mind wander and made me sort of think about the coronavirus. And one day, by the way, this is going to end. And one day we're going to look back and we're going to say, hey, do you remember when? And so I thought I'd just kind of help you out this morning. Here's 11 hymns that I found strangely sort of gave me a double message, gave me a message other than the worship message. Here's one, Shall We Gather at the River? Shall we gather at the river? Only if we have 10 or less. Here's another one. I know a fount where sins are washed away. And I added in my mind, and don't forget to wash with soap and water for 20 seconds. Don't forget that. Here's one, sooner or later. Sooner or later, I'll find toilet paper to buy in the store. Here's another one, near my God to thee, but 6 feet from everybody else. Here's one for all of you moms and dads that have enjoyed your children at home every waking minute this last week. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world at home, not in school, driving mom and dad crazy. Jesus loves all those children, doesn't he? Now, here's one, come and dine. Come and dine, but drive through only. Now, how about this one here? In times like these, in times like these. Good Christian song. In times like these, we need a vaccine, don't we? Here's one, to the work, to the work. Good song about Christian work. To the work, from home, of course. Here's one, just kind of goes without saying, things are different now. Wouldn't you agree to that? It's different, isn't it? Every facet of our life is different. But here's one, I found this question here to be very pertinent at this time. Where could I go? I don't know. That's actually a hymn in our hymn book. Where could I go but to the Lord? I don't know. Everything is closed. And here's the last one I found especially pertinent to us. The song, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? Will Jesus Find Us Watching? Netflix, old NCAA tournament games, reruns. Will Jesus find us watching? Well, hopefully you found in your Bible now our text here, Numbers chapter 13. And again, I trust that you'll pray one for another. And let's let this be a time of strengthening for our church, not a time of weakening. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 31, our text begins in verse number 31. But the men, that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Notice chapter 14 and verse number 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. I ask you a question here this morning. What are you doing to face this coronavirus crisis? You know, not surprisingly, some people with means and some people with a lot of material things, even planes, have found themselves flying to remote islands where the disease cannot catch them. Others have built their disaster bunkers, and they have stocked it full of everything. There's a great picture, by the way, surviving the coronavirus. Others, while you've been, by the way, stocking up on a year's supply of toilet paper, some very wealthy people have been getting some shots, some infusions of vitamins and minerals, trying to build up their immunity, and so they're doing that. Now, the point is this. I think every one of us, when we gather together, you realize it's only 12 weeks into the year. When we gathered together 12 weeks ago and we started out the new year 2020, I don't think any of us envisioned this pandemic. I don't think anybody here had it, you know, on their calendar that this particular week was going to be a live stream only week. Now, I don't think we would have envisioned schools closed, and we would have envisioned so many people that if they are fortunate to work from home, others even have lost their jobs, or their jobs just simply are not working right now. I don't think any of us would have imagined what has taken place, which has resulted in an unparalleled fear and uncertainty and anxiety. If I can even put it in one word that's important for us this morning, discouragement. Do you find yourself discouraged this morning? Do you find yourself, you know, I know we're God's people and we're supposed to trust the Lord at all times, but I would venture to say that a lot of God's people have even found themselves in the prison of discouragement. And imagine a prison in which case, you know, they've locked the door and they've thrown away the key. This morning I want to teach you, and I want to even use a story to help us find out how to break out of that prison. That prison of discouragement, that prison of disillusionment, that prison that is capturing even an entire nation and a world today. This morning I want to preach to you on the subject, breaking out of the prison of discouragement. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning in a real way and help us here with this story, that we might even see that this isn't the only time that fear has overwhelmed a nation and a world in which case we live. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn and learn well this morning how to break out of discouragement, and Lord, how to do it God's way. I pray you bless the message this morning and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to notice that here's an entire nation that got consumed with discouragement. And I want you to notice in the first place the discouraging report. You know, to set the stage for the events here, Numbers chapter 13, that we find that Moses, at God's beckoning, has sent the 12 spies into the land. And these 12 spies, there was one, a leader. These are leaders. These are the guys that are actually supposed to be the best. They're supposed to be the leaders. They're supposed to be the ones you can count on. And as these 12 men are sent into the land, they survey the land according to chapter 13, verse number 25, for 40 days. And they search it out thoroughly. They see the best in everything. Now, by the way, their job was simply to survey so that they could find out where the farms were, to find out where the cities were. They were to find out, where all of the defenses were. But you know, they had happened there something that we call in our military, they had mission creep. You ever heard of the term mission creep? They had it. Mission creep is when your objective changes, shifts. It shouldn't, but it does. And so an army that's supposed to be fighting is maybe diverted to doing something else. And listen, God never told them to go in. And they ask a question that God never intended to be asked. Their mission shifted from serving a land that God was giving them to asking the question, should we go? Should we go? That wasn't a question that God wanted to entertain. But they came back and they gave their opinion. And though they began by telling a couple of details, they said, yes, we saw the land and we saw the food and we saw the milk and honey and we saw the grapes. They then began to add to that. And they began to exaggerate, I believe, as so many things. They said, we can't win. We can't defeat their people. Their people are big. Their people are tall. Their cities are defense. They've got big, tall walls. And we just can't. We can't overcome them. Notice, listen to their words. In chapter 13, verse number 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. But they got psyched out before the game even began. It'd be sort of like, you know, a group of small midgets, some very small-heighted people, maybe under 5 feet tall, all of a sudden going out on a basketball court, and they see everybody that they're playing against is 7 feet, can dribble, pass, shoot, and dunk. And they said, we're going back in the locker room. We're not even going to try. We're not even going to play the game. We can't win. We can't score. There's nothing we can do. And so they decided to quit. Now, let me just say this morning about discouragement. The discouragement is really threefold. In the first place, discouragement is a dismissal of the past. Secondly, a distaste of the present. And third, a distrust of the future. Let's talk about each one of those individually. Because we notice in this story that, first of all, discouragement is a dismissal of the past. It dismisses the past. Now, what was their past? I'll tell you, in the first case, under Pharaoh, it was bad. It was slavery. But under God, it was sort of like, as Tony the Tiger would say, it was great. It was wonderful. And God had delivered them. You remember the 10 plagues? You know, those 10 plagues were to show the power of God. Aren't you glad you serve a mighty God? And God had delivered them, literally. They even went out of the land, and the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They came out with jewelry and gold and silver and so many things, and God brought them to the edge of the Red Sea. Now, it looked pretty bad when Pharaoh's army chased them. But even there, God's mighty hand delivered them. Moses lifted his rod, and the seas parted. Then they marched across on dry ground. Listen, I'm simply saying, up until this point, you've got the children of Israel. God's been good to them. In the past, God had provided manna and the quail. And think about the clothing. You know, the Bible tells us during the wilderness wanderings that they didn't have to go shopping. By the way, that sounds pretty good to me. You know, if I don't have to go shopping. You know, my mom, I can remember growing up, my mom used to have to pay me to try on clothes. And I can remember back in those days, she'd pay me a nickel a time to try anything on. And that's how I made my money. I just simply, you know, kind of bartered with mom. Now listen, they didn't even have to go shopping. They didn't even have to worry about it. Why? Because God made their clothes to last. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothing never wore out. They never were not taking care of the manna, the quail, the water from the rock. You think about the protection. The pillar of fire by day, pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. And they never had to worry about a single enemy. God even helped them with the Amalekites, and on it goes. Now listen, the whole point is this. They dismiss that entirely. You know, that's what discouragement does. Discouragement is a time in which we forget the goodness of God in the past. Discouraging times come when we just simply neglect and we negate, we wipe it out as if it never happened. And that's exactly what you see here. But not only that, but I want to encourage you and notice this, that discouragement is a distaste of the present. It's a distaste of the present. Now, what was their present? It too was good. You know, I thought about that verse this week, and I even shared it with many of you, Psalm 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Not only was he good to me in the past, but he is good. And listen, God is good. He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. You know, up until now, I happen to believe the story here takes place as they're 2 years into the wilderness wandering. You know, they spent a year at Mount Sinai, and as they're marching across, it's been 2 years, and God is still good even after 2 years. One of the things that I noticed in the story is how that they minimize the present blessing. And notice, for instance, even the phrasing when it talks about in verse number 27. This, by the way, is the sum total of their description of the food that they saw. Notice these words, "and this is the fruit of it." This is the fruit of it? That's all? That's all you can use to describe? You realize, by the way, that what they're referring to there is the grapes of Eshcol. Now, the grapes of Eshcol by that brook Eshcol, it is said here in the text that it took two men with a staff being heavily burdened down to just simply carry a cluster of grapes. Now, by the way, that'd be sort of like you and I going grocery shopping and we get to the produce department and we say, "Honey, we need one cart for the grapes and we need one cart for the apple and we need one cart for the vegetables." And listen, these are giant. Now, there might be giant-sized men, but there's giant-sized fruit. It's big, the blessings of God. But they just minimized it. They just said, "This is the fruit." Oh, that's exactly what we do too. You know, I know, by the way, that Thanksgiving is 8 months away. But can I just simply say that we ought to move it up on the calendar? We ought to make today a Thanksgiving day. And whether or not we have turkey and dressing and all of the rest of it, that we need to spend time and we need to thank God for his present blessings. You know, I'm sad that our world is suffering from this disease. I'm sad we've got the virus among so many in our world and even in our country, in our state, in our community. But listen, can I just simply say that though this may not have impacted you, it may not have impacted you personally with your health, it's impacted all of us, but we still can count our blessings. You know, I just simply wrote down. There's always a silver lining, by the way. I thought about family blessing. Now, aren't you glad, by the way, you've got family today? We get to spend time with family. By the way, some of you, you're spending more time with your family this week than you've spent in a long time. We've got a blessing. I wrote down a food. You know, we happen to live in a land of plenty. And even though a lot of things aren't on the shelf, and even sometimes food, I'm thankful that we have food to eat. I thought about this. I'm thankful for my country this morning. In spite of a lot of shortcomings, I still believe we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I happen to believe that. And by the way, that comes with all sorts of blessings. You think about, you know, this is a challenge, certainly. But we got great health care. And we got great doctors and great nurses and great staff. And I thought about what a blessing to even have the technology and the manufacturing. You realize you could be living in a lot of countries I wouldn't want to be in here today with the pandemic. I'm thankful to live in the United States. I thought about church. Oh, I thought about church a lot this week. You know, we have church in a different format this week. By the way, do you realize that 20 years ago, we wouldn't have even had this? 20 years ago, we wouldn't have been. If the pandemic would have taken place 20 years ago, we'd have been shuttered and there would have been no church. I guess we would have had to maybe record it and maybe send out little. I remember, by the way, the day when we used to have the cassette tapes. We used to have boxes and boxes of recorded tapes, and we'd probably have to just simply record and send it. Aren't you glad, by the way, that you can see and that you can hear, and some of you can tune in, and you can even probably even slip away and get yourself another cup of coffee while you're in church. I mean, think about how liberal we're getting these days. I'm simply saying God has been good to us. By the way, I believe that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You realize this could be, in spite of the fact that it is an awful disease, and it certainly has got a lot of bad things, it can actually have some benefits to the gospel. You know, I was just simply just perusing on the internet, and I came across one gospel preacher who said last week he had to have live stream. He did it last week. And he said on his live stream, he said, I preached the gospel, I gave an invitation, and I asked people to respond by way of internet. He said, I had 300 people that accepted Christ as Savior. You know what, folks, I think this could be a real blessing. We could even see folks get saved over this. And listen, I think you and I need to realize that it's not just simply bad, 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 bad. But if you'll just simply open your eyes, there are blessings in the present. I received an email this week from a dear pastor friend who organizes prayer on behalf of churches in the state of Minnesota, and churches like ours, independent Baptist churches. And I won't tell you the church, but the church and the pastor we prayed for shared this specific remarked request for his church. He wrote, just simply as we were praying for a church, he said, you know what, he said, our church has talked about the need to live outside of our four walls for a while. And yet we are rejoicing in the opportunity to be forced to question our normal paradigms of church and be able to live out the principles. You know what, we're not limited by having to just simply have everybody in pews and everybody walking through the doors. And now listen, there are other ways. If God wants it, there are other ways for us to do it. That's what he was saying. He's saying, listen, we need to even realize what an opportunity. This could be a great opportunity to minister, a great opportunity to get the gospel out. And listen, have you taken inventory of what you have? Listen, every one of us, you know, before we go grocery shopping, we go in the cupboards, we go in the pantry, and we notice what's not on the shelf. But, you know, we also notice what's there. Listen, they just completely disregarded. They had a distaste for the present. But then, thirdly, notice that discouragement is a distrust of the future. You read the verses and you will find there's one obvious difference between the 10 spies that were negative and the two that were positive, Joshua and Caleb. The big difference is the 10 spies never mentioned the potential of God. Joshua and Caleb said, God can, God will. God will do this. Listen to this in chapter 14, verse 8. Notice their words. Caleb and Joshua said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Folks, listen, we need to realize God can do anything. God's not limited. You're sitting there here worried about all the things. You know, in fact, some of you, I'm going to encourage this, even my message tonight as well, but I'm going to encourage you here that what we need to do is we need to spend less time worrying about all the things we can't control and just simply pray to God who can. Pray to God. Our God can. Now, secondly, I want you to notice the discouraging response. The discouraging response in chapter 14 in verse number 1, notice how this infected the people. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. You know, we've been talking about, and we've been concerned about this virus for the past several weeks. This has come into our vocabulary. It's been our conversation around at the dinner table, at the office place, if we're even at the office. Now, why are we so concerned about it? There's two things that are primarily true about this virus. Number one, it is so contagious. And secondly, for some, it's deadly. It's contagious, and it's deadly. Can I say the same thing could be said of discouragement? Discouragement is highly contagious, and discouragement can kill. Discouragement will kill. You know, this became, by the way, the world's greatest, biggest pity party. You had more focus here on the giants. And by the way, you find oftentimes, I find this is true with discouraged folks. It's sort of like fish stories. You know, fish stories, you ask somebody, you know, you went fishing, you know, how big was the fish? You know, it goes from this big to this big to this big. You know, I was out there, you know, catching like a swordfish, you know, down there in the little creek. We kind of exaggerate, we embellish, we make it bigger. And I believe the same thing happened here. You know, how tall were these people? Oh, they were gigantic. They were big and they were tall. They were certainly that. You know, I find it interesting in the story of David and Goliath. There was a story, truly, of a tall man. But you know, there's one word that actually never appears in the script. There's one word that's missing in 1 Samuel 17. You know what that word is? It's the word giant. Now, though the Bible does tell us the height of Goliath, his stature, that he's described as being 6 cubits and a span, that certainly is a description of his height, that the Bible never uses. In fact, David, did you know that David never calls him a giant? You know what he calls him? He says he's a Philistine. He's an uncircumcised, he's basically a dirty Philistine. But he doesn't use the word giant. Now, I happen to think that we gin up a lot of unnecessary fear that's among us. And I believe you have seen that happen before your very eyes at this time. Even in the story of David and Goliath. You know, here's David. He never calls Goliath a giant. But you know what all the other soldiers are doing? They're sitting around, and the Bible records for us their words. They said, "Have you seen this man? Have you seen this man? Have you seen this man?" And they spend their time, they make him bigger and bigger and bigger, larger than life. That certainly he was tall. But listen, it doesn't matter because God is bigger. And here they were, ginning it up. You know, we oftentimes spread our fear, our discouragement. We make it worse. You know, even during the coronavirus pandemic, good advice, good sense tells us to what? Cover our cough. And by the way, cover it in your sleeve. Cover it, you know, that way. You were supposed to cover our cough. We shouldn't just simply cough openly. You know what they actually did? They coughed their discouragement. And when you cough your discouragement, you don't cover it up. When you just simply let it out, it's going to spread. It's going to kill. It's going to kill somebody. Listen, that's basically what happened with those 10 spies. Here in Numbers chapter 14, these 10 spies came back, and one of the ways we could describe it is they coughed. They coughed their negative, and the whole nation came down with a virus of discouragement. Discouragement, by the way, causes two major problems in the life of a Christian, I've found. In the first case, it creates ungodly sorrow. You know, some sorrow, by the way, is good. Some sorrow is godly. This was not. You say, well, preacher, what is good sorrow? Notice, by the way, in chapter 14, in verse number 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. You say, what is good sorrow? You know, the Bible does tell us we're supposed to weep with those that weep. When you're sorrowful for with somebody else that's going through a tough time, that's good sorrow. So somebody's going through a tough time, and you cry, and you pray, and you encourage. Listen, that's a good sorrow. I would venture to say that you've even got the story of Job. You know, when Job's friends came to him, they really tried to discourage him. You know what? Job sorrowed, but one of the things that Job did was he kept his eyes on the Lord. We're going to talk about that story tonight in greater detail. Now, notice that everything that was done by the children of Israel at this time was they sorrowed, and it was all about them. It was self-pity. It was self-focus. When your focus is on yourself, you're in trouble. Get your eyes on the Lord. Get your eyes on others. Discouragement oftentimes causes us to do that. But secondly, not only is it ungodly sorrow, but secondly, it closes the door on God. You see, it creates an attitude. It's sort of like taking our spiritual phone off of the hook. We do not have a God. We put him basically on airplane mode. We do not have him ready to speak to us. We have closed him off. Every time you're discouraged, every time that you do that. By the way, notice that what did the people do? The Bible says they were up all night. What were they up all night doing? Praying? Were they having a prayer meeting? No. What were they doing all night? Did they gather around and did they rehash God's commandments? They had just been to Mount Sinai not too long ago. Did they rehash all of what God said? No. What did they do? They basically wept all night and they basically spread and enhanced their discouragement from one to another to another. They basically talked about it. They talked about it some more. Now listen, when you do that, you are cutting off God. And that's why, by the way, God was not happy. Because they closed him off. And we notice, first of all, the discouraging report. Secondly, the discouraging response. But thirdly, I want you to notice here this morning the discouraging result. Notice in verse number 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Now, it's sad. But this discouragement had poisoned them. They had lost their vision. They had lost their faith in God. They stopped believing. They stopped trusting. And they started just complaining one after another. And what it ended up doing is it caused the entire nation to rebel. They said, listen, we're not going with God. They rebelled. Listen, God cannot and will not pour his blessings into the lives of people who do not follow him. He cannot bless you if you do not follow him. That's why, and I say this deliberately, how we respond to this crisis is important. It's important individually. It's important as families. And by the way, many of you today, you are gathered together as a family. It's important to us how we respond as a church. It's important to us how we respond as a nation. It's important the world's response. Have you forgotten again, as I reminded you that a week ago we were asked to make it a day of prayer? And I've even heard remarks by leaders even since then to keep on praying. That's what we need to do. What did Solomon, the wise man, once say? He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. You know, because of discouragement, the children of Israel, they ended up missing out. They ended up wandering in the wilderness. We know the wilderness wanderings lasted some 40 years, and everyone over 20 years of age and older died off and was buried in the wilderness. By the way, the cost of discouragement was even greater for the perpetrators. Did you know something specific about the 10 spies? You remember the ones who coughed this, the ones who came back, the ones who spread this discouraging germ? Those ones, listen to what the Bible says, that they died immediately. Because the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. That by the way, ought to show you that's a lesson. Don't cough discouragement. Don't spread discouragement. You might be tempted to be discouraged, but listen, it's important. God is going to hold you and I accountable when we're supposed to represent him. Now, what about those other two, though? You know, whereas the 10 spies died immediately, the other two survived and thrived. Now, they continued on. And in fact, I find it even heartwarming, the fact that Caleb, one of the two spies, when it came his time to go into the land and get his possession, what did he demand? What did he want? He said, I want that mountain. I want Hebron. You know what Hebron was? It was a mountain full of, get this, giants. At 85 years of age, he had not lost sight of God. He had not lost his faith. He said, God still can. I might be old. I might be 85. But listen, I think God can. He hadn't lost his faith. Now, do you want to break out of prison? You want to escape the prison of discouragement, like a maybe a good Southwest Airlines commercial slogan. Do you want to just get away? You say, Pastor, how can I overcome discouragement? Well, let me share with you as we finish here this morning, this afternoon, three ways you can break out of the prison of discouragement. Let me say in the first place, this is the time to get in the Scriptures. And what I'm talking about is I'm talking about have faith verses. Do you have some verses? I call them my go-to verses. My verses that encourage faith. My verses that encourage trusting God. Do you have such verses? Let me share with you some. Psalm 56 and verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Here's another one, Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. How many times, by the way, do you read in Scripture God promised his presence? For I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Here's one, maybe you've not seen this one. In Psalm 94, verse number 9, it begins by saying, in the multitude of my thoughts within me. Do you ever overthink? Do you ever overanalyze? That's basically what worry is. He's describing in the first part of this verse, worry. What is worry? The multitude of my thoughts. Well, I'll tell you what, that's why, you know, right now, you know, if you want to, you can saturate yourself with, you know, what this person's saying, what that person is saying, and what this expert is saying, and you can saturate your thoughts with all of that. Listen, you're going to just simply be filled with a lot of worry. The psalmist said, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Thy comforts delight my soul. Listen, I'd go crazy if I didn't get God's thoughts. Thy thoughts, they're going to comfort my soul. How about this one? 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here's another one. Psalm 23, verse 4. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You say, preacher, do you ever get scared? Sure, absolutely. You poke me when I'm not expecting it, I'll scream like a girl. I said that for some of you girls here this morning. You know, one of the things I know that I've got a shepherd that I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear, even though it may seem like the shadow of death. I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear anything because I've got a shepherd who loves me. And I'm so glad the Lord is my shepherd. By the way, is he yours? Is he your shepherd this morning? Here's another one, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It's interesting that Joshua, he was one of the other two spies who kept trusting God. He's one of the two that gave the good report. The good spies kept their faith in the crisis 40 years later. He's the leader of the nation. He's leading them into the land. Now, it's interesting, by the way, and we oftentimes, we don't connect the dots. But as captain, he's given this verse, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What was important for Joshua as he entered the land as the leader? This book of the law. Not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law. Listen, this week here, let's make sure that we find our verses that talk about God and trusting God, and God can and God will, and let's have the faith verses. You know, a child of God separated from God's word can be discouraged. But a child of God immersed in God's word is always encouraged. I don't know about you, but I know about me. Every time I get in this book, it's good for me. It's like chicken noodle soup when you got a cold. It's, you know, like, you know, just simply going to mom when you feel sick as a child. It's good. There's something good about it. And listen, every time I go to God, it's good. It's encouraging. That's why you ought to take some time to even find some verses, share some verses. It's one of the things I'm going to even do myself here this week. Share some verses that are meaningful to you on social media. That's going to do a whole lot more than just simply sharing all the conspiracy theories, all the fear-mongering, all of the things. You know, like Chicken Little, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. How about just simply have some verses about trusting God? I think that's what we ought to do. Secondly, let me say, as a remedy, not only it's a time to get in the scriptures, but secondly, it's a time to increase prayer. Increase prayer. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 begin by saying, be careful for nothing. You know, that word careful there means to be full of care. It means to be anxious. It means to be worried, to be alarmed, freaking out, we might even say. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the epistle of 1 Peter was written to suffering saints, persecuted saints, saints who at one time, Peter even says, don't consider it an unusual thing that you're going through these fiery trials. You know, there's a very simple and just with few words capturing what we should do as we suffer. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, Peter in the midst of suffering says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Listen, this is a time to pray. This is a time to pray not only for ourselves, but pray for each other. You know, this could, by the way, be one of the most blessed times for a church that we've ever seen. Oh, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. You and I, we could, as we'd increase our prayer time, and by the way, Valerie gave me this idea. She had heard it. Somebody had said, you know, since we're supposed to wash our hands for 20 seconds, spend those 20 seconds here praying for missionaries. You can have a lot of prayer for missionaries. You can pray for preachers. You can pray for each other. While you're washing your hands, how many times now a day are we washing our hands? Well, let's do something else while we're doing that. Let's increase the prayer. But then third and finally, let me say, this is the time to minister to others. You know, think about it in terms of Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and he began his public ministry. Basically, his primary ministry was amongst those who were lost, those who were needy, those, including many of those who were sick, those who had diseases, infirmities. By the way, Jesus did something with them that you and I can't do. He healed them, but he certainly ministered. Can I just simply say, you and I are called to minister? And maybe this particular time when I know we're supposed to, by the way, have our social distance, but that doesn't cut off ministry. And we can still minister from a distance, that we can still minister while being guarded with our health and being careful about contracting a disease. We can still minister. As I said, you know, I miss your presence. But do you realize we are assured in Scripture that we still have the Lord, the same Lord. The same Lord who, when we gather together physically in this building, is the same Lord who's gathered together and we're in his name. You in your home. And you in your home, and you in your home, and everybody who's watching by way of live stream, and even the few who are here. I'm simply saying that you and I need to realize that there's a ministry that can be had. I thought about, you know, we've got Brother Dan down here, and I thought about his folks, my folks, and several others who are in assisted living. They're in facilities that, for their protection, have just simply had them secured and you can't visit them. You know, as I talked to my mom earlier today, my dad, for just a few minutes, you know, I thought about that. Listen, we could send a card to some of those shut-ins. We could certainly say a prayer for them. You know, think about somebody less fortunate than you. But listen, think about those you work with. If you do have a physical work job where you are seeing somebody else at work at a distance 6 feet, think about encouraging them. Maybe you could buy them a cup of coffee or maybe a gift card. Again, sterilize it before you give it. Make sure you haven't, you know, spread anything. But the thing about, yeah, I thought about this. You know, I got this idea from some of our staff earlier this week. I was just talking to a couple of ladies, and they're talking about, you know, Pastor Claire, you know, what, and they're talking about we've got a contest that we've got a prize for our staff that can guess the day of the snow out and the day that all of the snow is gone. And they said, you know, Pastor Claire, maybe rather than $100, maybe something more valuable would be toilet paper. So I got this idea, staff. When it comes to Christmas bonus, don't worry about getting a check. I'm giving you toilet paper this year. It's worth gold, isn't it? It's valuable. Now, listen, I'm simply saying you can maybe offer to maybe help somebody that maybe is not able to get out. And you could maybe even offer to maybe even bring a meal to them and say, hey, listen, what are you doing for lunch? I'm going to stop by and I'm going to do the takeout. And let me just stop by and drop off something for you. I'm simply saying you and I can have opportunities to minister. You know, we have been so blessed. And if you are healthy, if you are able, if you have even a job and you even have money in the bank, listen, you have been blessed. This is a great opportunity, as I said, to get the gospel out. Have you looked for the opportunities? Share with people that are scared, fearful. I'm not scared. And here's why. This could be a great time of ministering. And I don't know, by the way, how long we're going to have to do the live streaming. But, you know, it doesn't matter how long. We ought to take and seize every opportunity and minister. You know, this is not the first time that trouble has plagued mankind. I want you to see a picture of a famous Christian of the 17th century. His name is Martin Rinkert. Do you know the story of Martin Rinkert? A very great example of a man of faith. In the first half of the 17th century, this German pastor, he literally had just taken over his church. He had just become the pastor when the 30 Years' War began. He ministered, he was a pastor for 31 years, which meant that every one of his years, save one, was spent during a war. It is said one of the bloodiest, one of the costliest. During that 30-year war, it is said some 8 million people died, and many of them right in his neck of the woods. Not only was there the war, but a plague infested the land. Like this coronavirus, only worse. It is said that in parts of Germany where he lived, that 50% of the population died. It was during such a time that Martin Rinkert, the pastor, was conducting, it is said, up to 50 funerals a day, that he got out and just simply to pass the time, wrote a song, wrote a hymn. It's a song that we usually associate with Thanksgiving time. It's called Now Thank We All Our God. You know, I would submit to you that you don't have to stay in prison. You're not made to reside in the prison of discouragement. You don't have to stay discouraged this morning. You know, so I even appreciate Brother Gary, you know, even holding up the Bible and saying, hey, listen, I've read the end. And listen, Jesus is coming again. Listen, there's so many truths that you and I need to cherish here this morning. What do you say, you and I? Let's break out of prison. Let's not stay confined. Let's break out of the prison of discouragement. Would you bow your heads wherever you're at, whether home or even here? And just before we pray, again, I'm not... We don't even have the opportunity for me to even, you know, have you raise your hands and me see your hands. But I'm just asking you to consider this morning. Have you been discouraged? Might even be that it has nothing to do with the coronavirus. You know, trouble is in many shapes and forms. It may be in, I know of individuals that have had sad news, discouraging news, and a difficulty, and they've had obstacles. They've had some real tough things that they've had to manage this last week. Have you been discouraged? Again, it's one thing, by the way, and you, I want you to even tune in tonight as I even tell you my message tonight. I don't want you to miss this, but tune in tonight when I tell you, you're going to love the ending. We're going to talk about the ending of the story of Job. You're going to love the ending. Listen, you and I, we might be discouraged right now. But listen, we don't have to stay discouraged. I encourage as we just simply get ready here to finish our service, to consider what is God saying to us. And this morning, if you've been discouraged, I encourage you just simply to pray and say, "Dear Lord, I'm sorry. I've been in the mully grubs. I've been down. I've been defeated. And I've forgotten. I've forgotten what you did in the past. I've had a distaste for what you're doing now. I've had a distrust in the future. Boy, I'm just going to make up my mind. It's going to be in the Bible. It's going to be in prayer. It's going to be in ministry." And listen, where could we go but to the Lord this morning? I encourage you to have faith. I encourage you to stay strong. I encourage you this week and the rest of this day, let's not be defeated. Oh, how sad when an entire nation got infected with discouragement and an entire nation was down. An entire nation missed out on the blessing of being able to go into the promised land. Well, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I even pray right now if there's somebody that's listening to my voice that this morning has never accepted you as Savior. Lord, may they right now, wherever they're at, may they say, "I want to trust in the Lord. I want to trust in Jesus." In times like these, we need a Savior. And so, Lord, I pray that even as we are contemplating this message, that you would help us to even have those who are not saved that would just simply pray and say, "I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. This morning, I trust Jesus." I'm going to have Valerie just simply play, and while she's playing here again, what is the Lord speaking to us about? I want us to all be in a moment of prayer. Are you saved this morning? If not, trust Him. If you're saved, listen, don't stay discouraged. Don't stay down. Try and lift somebody up this week. Try and lift somebody up even this afternoon in your family, your friends, at work. We have so much to thank the Lord for. Martin Rinker said, "Now thank we all our God," while he's burying 50 people a day. Again, half of the people that lived in that section of Germany died during those 30 years. Half. How about you? Discouraged? Don't stay discouraged. Let's try and trust in the Lord. In our Bibles, in prayer, and in ministry. She continues to play, "How about you?" this morning. Families need to encourage one another. This is the time to stay together. This is a time for our nation. I think, you know, maybe one of the good things could come out of this, if we will, is our nation that's been so divided would become united. Listen, this pandemic, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate by party. It doesn't discriminate by ethnicity, it doesn't discriminate in any other way. It is an epidemic that is just simply flooding our world. We need to pull together. Boy, we need to pray about that. And families need to stay together. Church needs to stay together. God's people. This morning, how about you? Break out of the prison of discouragement. Joshua and Caleb shows us the way. Let you and I follow. Thank you so much for being part of our service this morning. Again, I know it's not the same. We wish that everybody could be here today. As I said, I went in my mind here this morning. I looked out and I saw every one of you where you would be if we didn't have this challenging disease. But I'm thankful that we can be together, even by way of live stream, and we can share the Word of God. I trust this morning was a help, a blessing to you. And don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, my message, I don't want you to miss it. You're going to love the ending. You know, sometimes it's good for us to just simply be reminded that all of this is going to come to an end. In one way or another, trouble ends. One day, we've got heaven to gain. We've got glory to seize. And so I trust tonight that you'll be encouraged and even be present here by way of live stream. Again, thank you for sharing with us here this morning. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. Help us, Lord, to cherish them. And Lord, to have learned this morning from even your book. We pray you'd be with our church family. And Lord, each and every one of them, they've got specific needs. I pray you'd meet those needs. Lord, I pray you'd bless us. We pray because of Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed in your homes. Thank you again for tuning in.